This is the Diamonds in the Desert podcast. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm here talking Diamondbacks baseball today. On this episode, we're going to discuss some injury news, A.J. Pollock, Steven Souza Jr. Status, Jake Lamb's return, and then we'll talk Clay Buchholz's start on Sunday in New York against the Mets, John Ryan Murphy and the status of Arizona's catching rotation, and the overall state of the Diamondbacks here in the middle of May. Let's get started, Jordan, by talking about this A.J. Pollock injury. It's an avulsion fracture of his left thumb. It's not going to require surgery. He's just going to be in a soft cast. But after the month of April and early May that Pollock was having, this is a pretty big blow to this Diamondbacks lineup.
Yeah, he was an MVP candidate the way he'd been playing in all three phases of the game. He was the one of the few catalysts on this offense. So that's where you probably miss him most, but also in the field, on the base paths as well. This is probably the biggest blow that they've had so far. Assuming that he will be out for a while. Obviously Taijuan Walker hurts. Obviously Robbie Ray has hurt, but just the type of year that AJ Pollock has been having, he was the guy for this team. Him and David Peralta were the two really leading this lineup, with Paul Goldschmidt struggling early in this 2018 season. So just huge loss for them, and they're going to try to make do, probably get a little creative with their outfield rotations moving forward.
Chris Owings and Jerod Dyson will be splitting time in center field. Last Tuesday, when the news was announced of Pollock's injury, Chris Owings was out there and was pretty impressive. I mean, he was making some plays out there, and then at the plate, we're still seeing him kind of get into his groove for this season. But are you concerned at all with the way that the adjustments will have to be made?
You can't fill that hole that AJ Pollock was providing for them, but I think that Dyson is a true center fielder, and a lot of times he had been playing the corner outfield positions because AJ Pollock was there. And then you have Chris Owings, where it's a little bit of deja vu, where he actually made his first move to the outfield a couple years ago because AJ Pollock got hurt, because right. David Peralta got hurt. So he's more comfortable there. You can see it defensively for him, but kind of across the board, offensively, there have just been struggles all around, so it's not that unique for it to be just Chris Owings kind of getting things going offensively. It's been this entire team.
Steven Souza Jr. was removed from Friday's game in New York against the Mets with an irritation to the same right pectoral muscle that he was put on the DL with earlier this season. The MRI showed the strain and some inflammation in that same exact area. It's looking like he's going to avoid the DL. They've got that depth, luckily, in the outfield. But with Pollock going down and then Souza going down, you're now using all your resources out there.
Exactly. And that was a it's just so funny how quickly these things change. Maybe funny is not the right word because it has to do with guys getting hurt. But going into the offseason when J.D. Martinez officially went to the Red Sox, then the outfield was pretty thin. How did they respond? They brought in Jerod Dyson. They made a trade for Steven Souza Jr. All of a sudden, that is a position of depth for them. Now they're a little thin as well. But we saw it last year how, Mike Hazen and Torrey Lovello were able to kind of look ahead and think, all right, we got to bring in another shortstop here. And then you have Nick Ahmed go down. You have Chris Owings go down. Rosales was a move that they were able to make. You saw Ketel Marte step in nicely. So they've been able to kind of make some of those adjustments. And again, just looking at the versatility, this is another situation. You can have David Peralta move over to maybe that right field position as well, have Daniel Descalzo out there for a day. So they do have some versatility, which is probably nice for Torrey Lovello to have.
I think the utility role that Chris Owings and Daniel Descalzo have been able to play has just proved so valuable for this team. And Mike Hazen said on Tuesday, when the media was able to chat with him about just kind of the overall status of things, he said that you can't put a monetary value on Chris Owings, especially his value. And then we'll get into this in a second with Jake Lamb returning, but when he was out, Devin Marrero and Daniel Descalzo were able to slide in there at third. And then you've got Descalzo that can pop out there to the outfield and fill the void that now is very apparent. So just having that kind of those extra guys that can just do it all is very, very valuable.
And I foresee moving forward, Christian Walker's been up and down quite a few times.
Right.
first base is his natural position. Yes, Paul Goldschmidt has been struggling, but he's probably not going to take many at-bats away from Paul Goldschmidt. So that could be another route where I see them trying to utilize him maybe more as an outfielder, maybe more as a third baseman, and kind of get a little creative with the way the lineup goes. So that could be another route that they go, just to have another guy who can play a couple, almost like a Chris Herman type from the past couple of years as well. So that's another route I think that they could go.
Jake Lamb, like I said, returned to the lineup on Friday. He had an RBI double in his first game back. Obviously, going to ease back into things. You're not going to see him come out and just be back to where he was during spring training by any means. But this is good to, I know we talked about when Souza Jr. came back that it was nice to see guys coming back from the DL and not going on the DL. But, I mean, we're kind of in that same scenario now. You had two guys go down in the same week, but in that week you also had some return.
Yes, strictly as a quantitative, it's a net zero because you have Steven Souza going on the disabled list. You have
we're getting technical
Jake Lamb, yes. We're getting very specific with how I'm assessing this. But, Jake Lamb is a historically good first half hitter. So maybe he could provide a spark. I know that he provides a little bit of a matchup problem at times, or I guess pitchers provide a matchup problem for him. They can go pretty heavily lefty against him. His splits are improving, but he crushes right-handed pitching. The lefties are where he's going to struggle. Having a guy like an A.J. Pollock protecting him, having a guy even I think like a Daniel Descalzo type is helpful having them. But when you're able to kind of stack that lineup, or conceivably, I think at the beginning of the year, they were thinking Peralta, Pollock, Goldschmidt, Lamb, and Souza, kind of that top five, which is a very good top five, kind of being able to stack all of those and, kind of sandwich Lamb into between two really strong right-handed hitters. Obviously, it hasn't gone that way for multiple reasons, but it will provide a nice spark. This is one of the better young hitters here in all of Major League Baseball. So, obviously, when you're bringing back and I think he brings an above-average glove. I don't think many people talk about his defense. It's not, Nolan Arenado, but it's definitely solid defense. And that's what they've really had to kind of lean on with this offensive struggle is the pitching and the defense. So again, providing more opportunities for Daniel Descalzo to go play elsewhere, because I don't think he's going to be losing at bats anytime soon.
The Diamondbacks were swept by the Mets, their second sweep this season, or the second time they have been swept this season. Within a week and a half, they were swept by the Nationals, came out, lost two against the Brewers at Chase Field, were able to get that one win despite what was going on with A.J. Pollock on Tuesday. But we're talking about all this injury stuff. Obviously, we've got Taiwan Walker out of the rotation, Robbie Ray out of the rotation. Matt Cook has come in and stepped up and had great performances against two Cy Young winners, MVPs. But we had a road bump with Matt Cook, and then we have Clay Buchholz come in. Mm-hmm. He signed with the Diamondbacks at the beginning of the month, spent the first couple weeks in Reno before he got the nod on Sunday. It was his first major league start since April 11th in 2013. We saw some decent stuff out of him. He went those five innings. He only allowed one run on two hits, and that one run was a home run to Mets shortstop Ahmed Rosario. So this could be a good point, or he could be that fifth kind of role.
And look, for a five starter, I don't know if you can ask for much more.
Well, you haven't started a major league game in over a year or two. It was pretty decent for him.
Yeah, no, I it was a great start. It was very, I was surprised just how effective his stuff looked in that first start in multiple years. But those first couple of starts last year with Zach Godley, how different was that line than Zach Godley's?
It's interesting to look at the way these guys have come in and stepped up this year with the need. And, like we were comparing Matt Cook's kind of start to Zach Godley's as well. So it's interesting to see that.
And we talked about the versatility that Daniel Descalzo gives to the lineup. How about the versatility of TJ McFarland?
Right.
Where, most of the time Torey Lovello is saying, I want seven innings out of my starters. In this case, Buchholz, he's still getting up to speed. And even once he is up to speed, I don't know how realistic it is to ask him to go seven innings consistently. Mm-hmm. There is some tread on that tire in terms of his career and just what he's been through in the past couple of years. But you get five quality innings out of him, and then you can go to TJ McFarland for two to three innings, and then you get it to the Hirano, the Bradley, the Boxberger, who there were some struggles recently, but
this last week just wasn't a good week overall.
That trio has been really, really good. So if you're able to kind of piecemeal that fifth start together where you're usually probably not going up against the opponent's best pitcher either, I think that could be something where they're able to etch out a couple of wins that way.
Let's talk about this catching rotation, I guess. Okay. We could call it. We've got Alex Avila, Jeff Mathis, John Ryan Murphy. The one person who has been performing decently has not been Alex Avila by any means. It's been John Ryan Murphy, which is somewhat of a surprise. I wouldn't say it's necessarily the biggest surprise that we've seen out of this lineup, but he's batting at .250 with 4 home runs and 10 RBIs. Not bad.
No, not at all. And when he starts, he's hitting closer to .320.
Right.
So, he is getting a lot of pinch hit opportunities. That's a completely different approach when you're a pinch hitter. You're right. Just trying to.
You have one job. That's,
yeah, and you're usually, if you see a strike, you're going to swing one of those things rather than potentially working the count and that sort of thing and get into that routine. Look, the way the catching has gone this year, I think that's kind of what people were anticipating for last year. Chris Iannetto was just a pleasant surprise for Diamondback fans with the amount of power that he was going to bring. Or that he brought. I don't think anyone anticipated he was going to bring that amount of power. Obviously, Alex Avila has struggled mightily this year. Jeff Mathis, we know what he is as an offensive player. But I also read recently that these catchers and their defensive framing, if we're talking WAR numbers, they've won about the equivalent of a game for the Diamondbacks, which is among the top in the league. So you know that what the role is going to be for a catcher in this Torey Lovello run lineup. It's you're going to try to save runs. You're going to manage these pitchers. If you can get a couple hits, icing on the cake. But John Ryan Murphy has played his way into more opportunities, and even his outs are loud outs. He has more pop than I thought he did.
Definitely, that's definitely something that's kind of, like I said, he's not the biggest surprise, but it's that pop that's kind of been surprising for me.
Yeah, and so they'll take offense wherever they can get it. You still know that Jeff Mathis is more than likely going to catch Zach Greinke, so he's going to at least get a start once every 5, potentially maybe, 2. But, it's still May. They're still mixing and matching. That has been the one area there hasn't been injuries. So,
Knock on wood.
I didn't say they weren't going to get injured. I just said, anyway. That's a position group where there have been options. So, it's still early in the season. It's not even Memorial Day yet. They need to mix and match and figure out what's going to be most effective. And I think moving forward, you're going to see John Ryan Murphy behind the dish a lot more.
So Torey Lovello actually said he's going to explore using him more. Something else that I've read recently is these guys are wanting more reps.
Right.
I forget where it was. I was watching some broadcast where it was there was a reliever who told his manager, hey, I know I pitched in a relief role yesterday. I want to come back in today. I want those reps. Do you see if Lovello says, hey, Murphy, we're going to use him more? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you mentioned Jeff Mathis and Zach Greinke. That's marquee. They need that.
Right.
But do you kind of think to yourself, okay, if Murphy's going to stay hot like this and using him more in a more regular role like that, do you think that's going to be beneficial? What are your thoughts
on potentially. This was actually a topic that was brought up to Lovello the last homestand with Avila, because most of his career Avila has had two or three starts at a time where he gets a start here. Okay, Zach Greinke's up, all right, so it's going to be Mathis, we'll mix in John Ryan Murphy. And that was a question, do you think more consistency would help him kind of get out of this rut? And Lovello had talked to Avila about it, and he said that Avila said, I'm going to do whatever you need me to do, so I'm not going to fight that. I don't think you can deny the hot hand, and right now John Ryan Murphy is the hot hand. And again, runs are at a premium right now for this Diamondback offense. So I think that you may see Alex Avila continue to come in a pinch hitting role, maybe, but I think that right now they are going to explore this option of John Ryan Murphy and not. But again, first and foremost, their priority is defense and how they're going to manage these pitchers. Right. So with that, all that in mind.
And that's been working decently well for them.
Yeah, yeah. And I think overall the pitching has been good despite the injuries, and the bullpen for the most part has been very good. So I think that you will see more of John Ryan Murphy. Lavelle has said you probably will in the foreseeable future. But again, it's going to be they're also keeping in mind what's going to happen in October. So they want probably three fresh catchers at that time. So it's that tightrope walk, and, you know, Lavello and his coaching staff think about everything. So I'm sure they're, you know, going over all of this right now as well.
Let's wrap things up here with talking about just the overall, we've discussed a lot here, but just the overall state and where you stand with where the Diamondbacks are here in the middle of May. For me, it's, you never want to see guys go down with injuries. You never want to see the trips to the DL. Obviously in the NL West, the Dodgers were fighting it too. They saw similar stuff, but I think, and this goes for the Dodgers too, who are now kind of getting back in the groove of things. If there's a time you want it to happen, it's now. It's not after the All-Star break in July. It's not getting into the thick of it in September. It's, if it's going to happen, you want it to happen now so that these guys can get healthy and get back on the right track and hopefully stay healthy. Obviously, AJ Pollock has had some bad luck with staying healthy these last few years, and it is terrible that he went down when he did, when he was having such a good year. Like you said, MVP caliber season. The Diamondbacks are only a half game up in the NL West. Colorado is a half game back. They're 1-9 in their last 10 games. Got a 4-game losing streak. Looking to turn things around this week against the Brewers. What is your just overall take here as we sit here on May, 21st?
The take is the sky isn't falling yet. For those that think the sky is falling, remember Chase Field has a retractable roof. So just adhere to that. Look, this stretch, we talked a lot about that homestand when it was Dodgers and Astros. Yep. But since then, they had to play the Dodgers again, the Nationals, and the Brewers. And the Brewers are in the first-place team in the NL Central. This Mets series probably hurts more for Diamondbacks fans, just the way they lost it, where it was the bullpen who had been their crutch for most of this year so far, didn't deliver. But you were also facing Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom, some really good young pitchers. And the Mets are having a solid year right now as well. At some point, the offense is going to break. Paul Goldschmidt is not going to be hitting near the Mendoza line.
Paul Goldschmidt's a good hitter at Miller Park.
He is, yes. He is at most parks, too, but right, especially at Miller Park.
Maybe we'll see him break out here.
Yeah. I think the way that they're with this, they're going to have a Thursday off here coming up. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be beneficial for everybody. It just seems like everything's forced right now. And that's what happened right around the All-Star break last year, too, when it was just a tough stretch. Even the games they were winning weren't coming easily. And that's what's happening right now. They're not playing good baseball. But I think we all know what this team is capable of. And they've had to overcome some injuries. And right now, Steven Souza Jr., I feel like, is forcing a little bit. Paul Goldschmidt is forcing a little bit. Ketel Marte is forcing it a little bit. Really, almost everybody except David Peralta and John Ryan Murphy right now are forcing it a little bit.
Well, Gerard Dyson had a good game against Syndergaard yesterday.
Yeah, and Dyson, I think with an expanded role, we're going to see what he can really do as well with that consistency that we talked about. But they have the depth. They have guys that can step in, you know, from AAA if they need it.
It's just readjusting.
It's before Memorial Day. Like you said, you want these struggles and these injuries to come early, and they built up enough equity that they're still a first-place team despite being 1-9 in their last 10.
And you mentioned these guys forcing it. Something that Daniel Descalso mentioned in the postseason last year, and I know he mentioned recently as well with the recent struggles, as a veteran, he's experienced it, and he knows you can't force it. That success is going to come naturally. They're a good team. They've got the tools. So just kind of heeding Daniel Descalso's advice, the whole clubhouse, don't force it and just kind of take it as it comes.
And going back to last year's playoff run, it's a vibe. for most of this Tori Lavello and Mike Hazen tenure, the vibe has been very good.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a bad vibe right now, and they're gonna. I'm confident that they'll work their way out of it. They're, you know, they have this 3-game set with the Brewers in Miller mm-hmm. Park again, a very good team. They're at Oakland. They're home against the Reds to wrap this month up. They had a historically good April. They've had a not so great May. I think that's another thing they can just turn the page, go into June, somewhere around the top of the NL West, while you have a struggling Giants team, you have a struggling Dodgers team, Padres are just kind of sitting there.
You never know, the Rockies may hit their slump in June.
Yeah. So it's, I think this is all going to even out at some point. And yeah, like I said, they built up a lot of equity at the beginning of the year, getting such a quick lead, and now things have crashed down a little bit, but they're coming back down to earth.
That's what we've got for you on the Diamonds in the Desert podcast this week. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm. Be sure to keep it on sports360az.com for more Diamondbacks coverage. Thanks for listening.